Good morning. We are so glad that you are all with us this morning, especially those that weren't able to make it last week. We're glad you're here. Just a reminder that this is the fifth Sunday offering. Am I right this time? I am right this time. I got it wrong last time. We're fifth Sunday offering, which is going to go between the general fund and the youth minister fund. So if you would just mark your checks in the memo where you want it to go, the book people would really appreciate that. Also, just want to remind you that December 9th, we're going to have our Christmas dinner where we're going to do the ornament exchange and the secret sisters and all that cool stuff. It's going to be potluck, so bring your stuff or you're going to get a pot with a duck and chicken. Can't guarantee that the chicken or duck will be cooked because they'll get me, but I've tried. So, especially the Rowans, them things take off and fly, and it's just, I don't know. And the chickens run me in circles, which you need an exercise plan to chase a chicken. They will work it out. So remind that is coming up as well. And also December 12th, we're going to do the movie night. We're going to watch The Nativity. If you've never seen it, it's a pretty cool version of The Nativity, of Mary and Joseph and how all of that played out. It puts a lot of filling in the blanks because, we get the overall story, but not a lot of detail in that. But the movie does a good job in that. So we're going to do that Saturday, December 12th. So let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you that we can come into your house and that we can laugh together, that we can worship together, that we can sit at your feet and hear your word. And we just give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody this morning. We're going to praise the Lord in song best we can. Sunday school lesson.
My song, praising
Everybody, look alive, stand up. Amen. You gotta like that. It's not my life to live. It's not Sing praises, Lord, and lift your name up. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this church house and everyone that's in it this morning and the blessing of being here, Lord, in your house, and hearing your word, Lord. And we know, Lord, that our righteousness is worthless. Our faithfulness is worthless. What you want, Lord, is our heart. You want our heart. You want to we give 100% of our heart, and your grace will take care of the rest. We're always going to lack. Lord, you're always there to fill the gap, and we praise you for what you did and for your love and for your heart for us. Lord, I ask a blessing on our message this morning, that you will plant that message deep in our heart, Lord, that we can take it out here into a lost world and tell them about Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We know your day is near. Help keep us faithful to the end. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. My communion comments for today are going to be in all things give thanks. And this kind of curtails off of a sermon that we heard in Florida last Sunday. So anyway, 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to be in 1 Thessalonians. First, it's 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Be joyful always. Pray continue, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we always give thanks for you, mentioning you in our prayers. And that's what I do every day for this, for our prayer, for our church family, and for our country, dear Lord. And then in Psalms 103:2, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
And then, before I finish with that, how many of you are thankful for 2020? That's curious. How many, when you think about myself and yourself, did you ever think about how God made us? Think about that, you know? How many of you like change something God made us? Many times we look at ourselves and think, man, if only this was different or that was different. But when you think about that, I know myself, I maybe wouldn't mind having a little more hair, a little more, keep the heat in a little better. But anyway, one of the things that was thought is when God made us, you know, it tells us in the Bible He made us perfect in His own image. But yet you just think, if God really thought about that a little bit, if He would have changed a few things on us, how many, what if He took your nose and turned it upside down? Now just think a minute. You sneeze, you blow your hat off. And if it rained, what would happen? We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? That's just one of the many things. There's a lot of different things you could look at your body and say, man, if He changed this to this, what would happen? And that just goes to show how wonderfully He made you and I. And He tells us in the Scripture that if we stray true to Him, that He's always going to be there for us, regardless through all things. So let's go on. Philippians 4:8. Give thanks for friendship. Thanks for marriage. Just think about it. Our Christian friends, they pray for us each and every day. Are we thankful for that? I sure am. I know I pray for each of you. I pray for Jeremy. I pray for Jonathan. I pray for each and every one of you, because we're living in trying times, and I think God's got all this in control. Don't kid yourself. And I think it's going to get worse. That's just my only thing, is what myself. And I tell you, I'll be in His house every day that I can be there until something happens. That's all, because He tells us the path is narrow, and we've got to walk the path. If we don't, I just, you know, I'm not criticizing anybody for anything. I'm just saying that we need to stay fast and true. Every morning, Eric brought up a good one. He says, what do you think about every morning when you get up? Number one, me? You know, I've set a pattern in my life, but I don't care about what happens, but I get up every morning knowing I'm going to be in my Bible first thing. That's the first thing I do. I'm going to spend in the Scripture first thing, because I know if I don't, this day is not going to be good. I need something to carry me through that day. I need the assurance that I can be a benefit to somebody else that day. I ask that the things that I do, the people, your neighbors are watching you. Everybody's watching you, what you do. And when you're a Christian, they're watching you big time. Let me tell you, I've had many of them come to me and say, we watch what you do. And that's, you know, I never realized how you are. Our grandchildren, I love having the grandchildren around. It's amazing what they pick up. They pick up if you make a mistake. Boy, do they ever. Hang on to your hat. And they will remind you about that. And that's good. That puts us in, you know, we need that. We need to be checked in our lives. So anyway, let me go on. Genesis 50:20. Joseph said, you intend to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. God tells us he'll provide for us and our children. All we have to do is hang in there. So anyway, just think about these things as you come around the table today. So I'm praying. I pray not only for each and every one of you here, but I pray for those many that are not here. And I pray that you can get back to the Lord soon in your life, in your walk. And go to the scripture every day. That's what will carry you through. This world will tear us apart, limb by limb, piece by piece. And I guarantee you, more's on the way. It's going to happen. And God's doing all this for a reason. He's doing it all for a reason. Because he wants many of the sinners to turn to him for the love that he has for them. So as we come around the communion table at this time, remember that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your son to us. We realize that his body had to be beaten. He was hated by many, dear Lord. He was tortured. He was crucified on that cross, dear Lord. They put the nails in his hands and in his feet, dear Lord. And he did all that because he died for me, because he knew that I'm a sinner and that I need his love each and every day. So as we come around the table at this time, dear Lord, we know his body was broken, his blood was spilled, so that someday we could be home with him. And that may be soon, dear Lord. Just, I am with you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning again. Prayer and praise time. I have some prayer requests, and one's kind of a double here. First, from Greg and Cheryl, for Sarah and Elizabeth Vogel, daughter-in-law and granddaughter. They have COVID, so they need lots of prayer that they recover fast from that, and a praise that David, Heather, and Colton are doing better. So we have a prayer request and a praise right after that. The second one's from Charlie Stom, for Neela Dowdy. I think maybe did she have a seizure or fell or something? And the doctor's hoping that she can carry the baby for another 7 weeks at least. So we need to pray a lot for Neela that she can get through this and get a healthy baby here. And last one here is from Jeremy Allamung for Judy B., a team member. She has surgery, says major surgery, on Tuesday. And lots of prayer. That's what he wrote on there, lots of prayer. I like that. That will fix everything, lots of prayer. So we're going to take these requests to the Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for everything you do for us, Lord. And we know you are in control and that you do love us dearly, Lord, and that all things are for our good. Sometimes, Lord, we don't see it and understand it when it's here, but we can have the faith that you do all things for our good. We ask, Lord, that you be with those who are sick with this COVID, Lord, and heal their bodies and give them strength to get over it fast. And we praise you for those who have already gotten over it, Lord. And we ask that you protect us all from it, Lord. We thank you so much that you are the God that keeps us in your arms and protected from all things. And we pray that Neela Dowdy, that her baby grows healthy, Lord, and that she is able to be healthy and carry this baby at least 7 weeks, Lord, so they can have a healthy baby. And we ask that you wrap your arms around both of them, Lord, and keep them safe. And, Lord, we pray for Judy, for Jeremy's friend, that she has a successful surgery and that she recovers quickly, Lord, and is blessed. Lord, we thank you so much for this church and our family, and I know there's many other needs out there, Lord. We see them throughout the week and on our prayer list, Lord, that you be with each and every one and heal those who need healing and comfort those who need comforted. We praise you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning again. It's always a privilege to come up here and walk through God's Word together. We're going to continue our walk through the Gospel of Mark, and sadly, we're slowly coming to an end of this Gospel, and it's kind of interesting because we have three more weeks of this Gospel to go, and I haven't looked at the calendar, but Christmas is coming up as well, and if you actually look at the end of the Gospels, the true Christmas story is coming up. So I'm hoping that we hit the end of the Gospel on Christmas, because the true Gospel, the true Christmas story, is at the end of the Gospel, not at the beginning. So we're going to continue our walk today, and we're walking and we're seeing Jesus as a servant. And as we've been doing that, we've been sort of asking the question, or we've been thinking about how we see Jesus determines how we respond to him. And it's interesting, Bob's communion meditation and Eric's Sunday school, it all is sort of coming together here this morning. Because there's a lot going on, as Bob said, that we need to be able to respond to the questions. We need to be able to respond to the world. But how we view Jesus determines how we respond to him. And it was funny, Bob was speaking about his grandchildren. I've sort of seen this firsthand. As many of you know, I did mission work in Ghana, West Africa. And the man, Abraham Gezi, he's a native of Ghana. And him and I went to the money exchange place to switch some money over because we needed a little more money. And as we're waiting our turn to switch over money, this man, he's up at the counter and he's doing whatever, his business, and he turns around and he's leaving. He's saying, "Hey, Pastor, how are you? How are things been?" And he's talking to Abraham. And Abraham's like, "Good, you know, having conversation." And the man leaves. And Abraham looks at me and he goes, "I have no idea who that guy was." But that guy knew that Abraham was a pastor. So how we see Jesus determines how we respond to him. And we need to be able to answer that question. And it's very important that we do it in the walking times that we're in. Last week, if you remember, we looked at the parable of the talents. And we asked the question, what do you preach? Do you preach Christ crucified? Do you preach Christ? Or do you simply preach? And remember, preaching is not just standing up here doing this. Preaching is our lives. It's a proclamation. It's what comes out of our mouth. So what do we preach? This morning we're going to look at what's going on around us, and we're going to see how Scripture tells us to respond. See, I want to ask you a question. What do these dates have in common? 1248, 1689, 1836, 1844, 1960, 1981, 1989, 1994, 2011. Does anybody know, and there's a bunch more on here, does anybody know what those dates have in common? All of those dates represent the times in which people have predicted that the second coming is here. The times are coming to an end. Jesus is ready to walk through those doors. What do we know about that? Could we add 2020 to that? 2020, Jesus is coming back. Look at the times. It's getting closer and closer. If you would, open to chapter 13 of Mark, and we'll open with a word of prayer. Lord, we just come to this time that we can now sit at your feet and we can hear your word. Lord, as your word goes out, Lord, let it be nothing that's written on this paper, nothing that I say, but let it be all about you. Let your words, let us hear your voice. Let us see your truth and let us have confidence in that truth. Let us know you deeper, that we can go and that we can proclaim the gospel in a lost and dying world, and it's more lost than ever. So many different things going on, so many people trying to even proclaim in your name, but not speaking the truth. Help us to be that light. Help us to be that voice in the calm, Lord, because you are our calm. We praise you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. What is coming? What's coming? Because if you look, there's lots of craziness going on. If you look at verse 7 of chapter 13, it's a verse that we see on Facebook. It's a verse that we've heard many, many times over and over. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, Jesus is coming back. No, it says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but, big but there, but the end is not yet. Look at those dates again. 1248, 1989, 2011, 1936, 1960. Wars and rumors of wars, but the end's not here. Don't be alarmed. You see, how many of you as parents or grandchildren or grandparents, you hear a cry in another room? And you know the difference between an angry cry and an upset cry. What happens? You get into motion, right? What's going on? Something is going on. Yesterday, we were out. I was trying to get everyone up from nap. And you know, at our household, there's the three older, there's the three younger. The three younger sometimes act like cats, and they're going every direction. And as you get one ready, somebody uses their pants instead of the potty, so you've got to go clean that mess up. While you're cleaning that mess up, you've got two going the opposite directions, and it's like, oh my goodness, can we ever get out the door? So we're trying to get out the door, and the older three are outside. Thank goodness, that took a little while too, but the older three are outside, and I'm in the bathroom cleaning Jovi up, getting her ready, and all of a sudden Morgan says, move. There's somebody outside that shouldn't be there. There was a man in a yellow vest. He was walking around, and she goes, go find them now. So I'm like trying to keep Jovi from falling into the potty because she doesn't want to use the seat. She wants to use the big girl seat. So I'm trying to not drop her into the potty and get outside. And I get outside, and down in the field are the three elders chasing a duck. And I'm like, okay, eyes on them. We're good. But the man disappeared, but I saw a truck with a light. So we're assuming he was just some worker that was around. But there was that urgency. There's danger. Where are the kids? That's what we're in today. There's this danger. There's these rumors of wars. There's the war of the coronavirus, this pandemic. In 2011, under the Obama administration, there were two operations in Afghanistan. We're going to war. How many times have we been on the verge of World War III? One too many. There's all of these things, but they're just birth pains. Verse 5 and 6 of chapter 13, Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray." He says, be careful. It's not me. Don't worry about all of this craziness that's going on, all of these wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and all of these things. Don't worry about those things. Worry about the signs. Because see, these are the birth pains. They're not the signs. They're not what you need to be watching for. He says in verse 28, and we're going to be all over this chapter. In verse 28, he says, here's what you need to know. From the fig tree learn its lesson. How many times have we learned from this fig tree in this chapter or in this book? We've already had one lesson from the fig tree. We're going to learn another lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near. At the very gates, Jesus is near. You see, he's near when these things are happening. Look at the fig tree. When the branches are tender and the leaves, summer is near. If you go back to chapter 11, why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Because the branches were tender and the leaves were there. It was supposed to have fruit, but it didn't, so he cursed it. So he's reminding us again, pay attention. Then you know it's ready. Be on guard in verse 9. Watch for these signs. But what are these signs? Be on guard for these signs. Don't pay attention to the talk. Don't pay attention to the panic and the chaos. Look for the signs. Be on guard, verse 9. And it was interesting, as you keep going, be on guard appears at least 6 more times. Chapter 23, be on guard. I have told you all these things before. Verse 33, be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. Verse 34, it is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper, stay awake, keep awake, be on guard. Verse 35, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows in the morning. Verse 37, and what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Be alert. Remember back in chapter 12, what did he say? Do you not know the scriptures? This is what the scriptures say. This is what's going to happen. All of these stuff and all of these people are going to talk and all this craziness is going to happen. But what does scripture say? What does scripture say? Scripture is our rock. When the waves hit, in our house, we finally got out the Christmas, and we have these little people. I don't know if you've seen them. They're like Fisher Price. They're called little people, and they're fat little squishy people. They have princesses and all the stuff. They have a manger scene, and we got out the manger scene and put it up. And Emery comes up to me with one of them, and she goes, "What this? What this?" I said, "That's one of the wise men." She goes, "Wise men built house on rock." And I'm like, "You got it, girl. Not the same wise man, but wise man built your house on the rock." What's the rock? The scripture. The scripture. When the rains come down, when the floods come up, the house on the rock will stand. We're on a storm. Be alert. Just as he said in Joshua, keep the word in front of you. Don't go left or right away from it. Keep that ark in front of you. Keep the word in front of you. Stay awake. Be on guard. Because everything is going to, whoa, wait, what's going on? Should I worry? What about, what does the word say? What does scripture say? Scripture said these things are going to happen. They've been happening. Verse 14. But, here are the signs, but Actually, skip over to back to 10. Sorry. Here's the first one. Verse 10 says, my pages are sticking together. Verse 10 says that, and the gospel must be proclaimed to all nations. The gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. Sign number one is the gospel proclaimed to all nations. Because if you look, what is proclaiming? Proclaim means to announce officially or publicly, declare something one considers important with due emphasis. Pay attention to this. Really, this is going to save your life. I don't know how many of you remember, if your kids watched it, G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe was the all-American hero, Yo Joe. At the end of every episode, they had this little public announcement. They had some little kid like being offered candy from a stranger, and then here comes one of the G.I. Joes. Don't do that. And it's knowing's half the battle, Yo Joe. That's a proclamation. Know these things. Is the gospel proclaimed to all nations? The World on End, if you go to worldonend.com, they report that in 1800, those who had never heard the gospel were almost 75% of the globe's population. Today, the percentage of those who have not heard is about 28%. A major move forward. However, that means almost 2 billion people have not heard the gospel message even one time. 2 billion people have not heard the gospel. Is Jesus coming? No. Jesus isn't coming yet. Should we duck, cover, and hide because they're closing us down? The countries are going crazy and all of these government people are boom, tightening. Jesus is coming. No. 2 billion people haven't heard. And what did he say in verse 10? The gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. We got 28% still to go before the gospel's been heard by every nation. When we see that, 100, then we know. The second is what? The second goes up to verse 14. And when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he not ought to be, let the reader understand, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. What is the abomination of desolation? Where have we heard him before? Go back to the book of Daniel. Daniel spoke of the abomination of desolation in chapter 9 of Daniel. And he shall make a strong covenant for many for 1 week and a half of week. He shall put an end to sacrifices and offerings. And on the wing of abominations shall one come who makes desolation until the decree end is poured on the desolate. Chapter 11 of Daniel, verse 34. Forces from him shall appear and profane the temple and fortresses, and shall take away the regular burnt offering, and they shall set up the abomination that makes desolation. And then chapter 12 of Daniel in verse 11, and from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Who is this abomination of desolation? Daniel was speaking twice. This was twofold here. The first was the Romans. That was the first. And as we know in history, some of these things happened. The Romans came in and they threw pigs up on the altar and they desecrated that temple. The abomination of desolation. It's also the Antichrist. The Antichrist. Has he come? Have we seen him? Because we haven't seen the gospel being proclaimed to all the nations. We're not at 100 yet. Yes, we're getting closer, but we're not there yet. Verse 19 says, in those days there will be such a tribulation. It's coming. It's going to happen. But here's the thing. We don't have to fear it. We don't have to fear all of this negativity that we hear about. For the days of the tribulation will be cut short because of the elect. Who are the elect? The church. Because of the elect, because of God's chosen, the tribulation will be cut short. So what does that mean? That means God's going to do what? He's going to protect His own. As parents, when we protect our children, what does that mean? Do we put them in a bubble and they never get a boo-boo? I don't know about you, but I've taken Jovi to the potty lately. It's like, where in the world did that boo-boo come from? Kids get boo-boos all the time, no matter what you do. And sometimes they don't even tell you about them, unless it's Emery. Somebody got some boo-boo, my elbow hurt too. Your elbow is not bleeding. Go away. My knee hurt. And it's like, Emery, stop. You're okay. Emery's always got a boo-boo because someone else has a boo-boo. But no matter how hard we try to protect our children, keep our children safe, they get boo-boos. So that doesn't mean the church isn't going to get some boo-boos. But we will be protected. We will be taken home to that glory because of the elect. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is not what's happening. Look at what's happening. The question is, has it happened? Have we seen these signs? Have we seen the gospel proclaimed 100% to all nations? Because the gospel first must be preached to all nations. Second, the abomination of desolation will be up. You see, here's what we have to know. If it hasn't happened, if we haven't seen these signs, then we have to remember this. We have to be alert. Verse 22, for false Christs, false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. Again, stay alert. Stay awake. Be on guard. They're going to talk. The world is going to talk. It's going to do everything it can to distract. Think about the garden. Go back to the garden a minute. Adam and Eve are in this garden, and they see this beautiful tree, the one they're not supposed to touch. Around them is what? More beautiful trees that you're supposed to touch with food on them. Adam and Eve are hungry. It's simple to turn this way and grab something instead of here. And they're thinking about it. They're looking. And what does the serpent do? He distracts them. He distracts them. And when he distracts them, they stop thinking rationally and they reach out and grab the fruit. The enemy is trying to distract us over and over and over again. The false cross, false prophets, rumors of wars, all of these things are to distract us, to get us away from the rock. If we get away from the rock, we drown. The rains come down, the floods come up. But if we stand on the rock, we stand firm. What happened in the book of Joshua when they stopped looking to God, when Joshua stopped getting up early in the morning, and they did what they knew because of their warriors? They lost. Over and over again, they lost. The biggest one would be the Battle of Ai. They lost. But when they came and they got in God's Word, when they focused on God, when Joshua got up early and said, okay, God, give me the plans. What happened? Battle after battle after battle, God gave it to them. God fought the battle and they won. So the question isn't persecution. Jesus isn't coming because things are getting hard for the church. Christ is not coming because church doors are being closed. These things are not good at all. But you know what? They've been happening for years. They've been happening for decades, actually. From the beginning of the church, as we're walking through the book of Acts, and I would encourage you to come back tonight if you can, because we're going to continue walking in that. The church would pop up, and what would come right after? Persecution, and squash it. But how many of you ever tried to kill a cockroach or a spider? And when you squish that thing, this happened in Ghana one time. You squish that thing, and as you're squishing it, and you're like, ha, 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 I win. All these little babies come out, and you're like, wait a minute, that thing just multiplied by who knows how many. That's what happened to the church. It boomed. You can't stop us. And it boomed. Persecution is not the sign of Jesus coming back. The doors being closed in churches is not the sign. It's uncomfortable for us because we're not used to it. You see, James actually says in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, he says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In fact, Jesus himself in the Gospel of John, verse 16 and 33, he says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus says it's going to happen. They're going to close the doors. They're going to tell you what you can't do. And they're going to set up perimeters so you can't do it. But I've overcome the world. The 1040 window is full of churches who have overcome the world. You can't, we can't do it this way. We're going to do it this way. You're going to take this book from me? Oh, well, you know what? There's going to be a time this book's going to be taken from me, so I'm going to memorize this book. And then when you take this book from me, what are you going to do? I still have it. Because what does it say? Hide the word in your heart. Hide it in your heart. They can't take it away. They can physically take the book, but if we've studied it, if we've prayed over it, if we've read it, they can't take it. It's in our heads, it's in our hearts, and it comes out. So we have to not give in to these things, not be scared of these things. Persecution, okay, it's happened before. And when is the church actually flourished? When the pressure was on. Not when everything was cool and calm. Miss Towers, Mylon tells this story a lot, and I really like it. It puts things in perspective. When things were crazy here before now, they got crazier. He would always say he went to his mom, and he told his mom what was going on, and it's like, oh my goodness, what's going on? Why is all this happening? We're doing something wrong here. What did she say? She goes, no. Not doing anything wrong. You're doing something right because the enemy is taking notice and he's putting pressure on. Because he wants you to give up. He wants you to stop. He wants you to surrender. And she was wise in that. She had no idea what was coming, that the pressure would be turned up even more. But we find the hope. We find the truth of the gospel, knowing that Christ overcame, as we sang, crown him King of glory. Because he won it all. So we walk in that truth. Here's the victory in verse 24. In those days after the tribulation, after all this craziness, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers in the heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect. When it's over, he'll come and get us. You know when Jesus comes back, when the sun is darkened, when the moon stops giving its light, when the stars fall from heaven, when the powers of heaven shake, we'll see him come back, and he will come back and collect his own. You see, let us do what verse 32 and 33 says. Let us not be concerned for the day or the hour, because no one knows, not even the angels in heaven know, nor the Son of Man, but only the Father. So what does it say? Be on guard. Stay awake. For you do not know when the time will come. Stay awake. Stay in the Scripture. Look to Him. Okay, Lord, this is crazy, but what do you say? Where are you leading in this? So let us not get wrapped up in all this talk, worry, and concern that the times are drawing to a close. Don't we want them to close anyway? Wouldn't that be a good thing? So why do we panic over that? Let's not get drawn into all of that. Instead, let us keep our eyes on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, knowing it is He and He alone who began a good work, and He will finish it. So let us spread the gospel to all we know. Because what did it say? First, the gospel will be proclaimed to all nations. And what I say to you, I say to all. Stay awake. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be on guard. Let us stay awake. Lord, it's easy to fall asleep. It's easy to get wrapped up in everyday life, to get comfortable. Lord, thank you for making us uncomfortable. Thank you for forcing me to find new ways to proclaim your word. Lord, let us see the blessing in this, that we can draw closer to you. Help us to trust you. Help us to lean on your word, to walk in your truth. As Bob said, to walk that narrow path. It's narrow for a reason. Lord, help us to spread your word. Help us to not get caught up in all of the naysay. Let us not get caught up in the fears of what's going on around us. Because you said it's going to happen and it's been happening. And it will continue to happen until your word is proclaimed to all nations. Until the Antichrist steps out. Then we know that it's coming truly to an end. And let us continue to keep our eyes on you, even if that happens while we are alive today. But above all, Lord, let us praise your name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jeremy. Another good sermon. We have hope, don't we? We have a lot of hope. We look around at this messed up world and it's like, who cares? Our hope is in Jesus. And this world is messed up. And it says in the Bible it's going to be messed up. It's going to get worse. And you can see the revelation slowly working out in front of our face. We may never die. We're a generation that might not die. We might not ever face death, but see Jesus coming from the clouds. Now, how great is that? I can't think of a better time to live than right now. We have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear because Jesus is in control. He's got everything. Like Bob said, he's got it all worked out. All we got to do is watch and say, what you doing next, Jesus? What you doing next? But for him to come, like Jeremy said, the word has to be proclaimed to all nations. Everybody has to hear about Jesus. And everybody can't hear about Jesus if we aren't out there proclaiming Jesus. We need to be preaching Jesus to a lost world. And you don't have to go very far to find it. We're going to sing a song this morning of invitation. And if anybody needs to know Jesus this morning, or if anybody just needs comforting or prayer or anything, just come forward. The altar's always open. And let us stand and sing a song of invitation. Be prepared for the Christmas dinner coming the 9th, that it is potluck, please bring a dish so we can share it together. And let me close now with prayer. Lord, we thank you so much that we are able to be in your house this morning, Lord, and sing your praises and hear your word, Lord. There's no place I'd rather be than here. We thank you, Lord, for your protection, for all you give us, Lord, for the blessings of this year and the blessings of the harvest and the blessings of our children and our grandchildren and our friends and neighbors. And it goes on and on and on, Lord. We are blessed beyond measure. And we know that nothing can stop your blessings from coming our way, Lord. We pray that we can go out into this world, Lord, and tell others about the saving grace of Jesus Christ, Lord. Help draw our hearts to yours, Lord, and bless this church and bless all that couldn't attend this morning. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Thanks for coming, everybody. God bless.